That's how we're going to open the show today. The sound of Tiana drinking water from a bottle. It's going to be that kind of show today.
Thirsty. What?
Thirsty. All right. So I feel like we just got to jump right into this because this has been one of the more big moment shows of episodes of the season. So finally, I mean, the big thing is Serena sold Fred down the river. Or at least that's what it appears to be. She was doing a very terrible job of pretending like she was still holding on to her.
Even in the last moments where he seemed like he was getting a tiny bit suspicious, he was not remotely suspicious of her.
Right.
Which really says something.
Yes, it does.
Wow, Fred. Wow.
Yeah. No, that tells you everything you need to know. More or less, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like they were kind of telegraphing it throughout the whole thing. I was like, okay, it feels like that, because everything she did felt like it was the last time she was doing it, and it was kind of the way she was
handling everything, especially right? when she was like saying goodbye to Rita. I was like, oh, that's too warm.
Yes,
that's too warm for you. You don't generally care that much about her.
That's true. But
Rita was convinced, apparently.
Rita was convinced.
She only packed one day.
That's very true. But what's also interesting with Rita is now that I noticed last week when they were in their little powwow with the three of them, and Rita was in the background. We talked about it last week where they were talking about kind of taking down Lawrence.
CSI Gilead was talking to...
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And they
were
all three having the conversation, and then Rita kind of hears them, and then she sneaks off.
Sorry, Commander, what's his name, from DC is who I mean when I say CSI Gilead. That's how I think of him, because I only know of
him. Law and Order.
Oh, man, it's the other one.
Yeah, he's Law and Order.
Oh, man, in my head it's been CSI.
No, he's not
CSI. That's the only other thing I know he's been on, even though I know I've seen him in other stuff.
He's Law and Order Gilead.
Law and Order. That's even better.
Yes. So, yeah, last week we talked about this, where they were all three up in whatever apartment or place he was staying.
Yeah.
And Rita was kind of hanging out in the corner in the back.
Because like, what else are you going to do?
She's Martha. And they were talking about kind of cleaning out the people who weren't being wholly subservient to all the things that Gilead wanted to do, and how they wouldn't have time for that once they were a sovereign nation. And then you see Rita in the background go, oh, that's interesting. I'll be right back. And so she sneaks off. And so I thought it was interesting, like, her, just the
suddenly
way she was...
need to go wash some dishes.
Just the way she was kind of questioning Serena, like, that she was pulling for information to give to whoever, you know. Well, later we find out it's kind of the, as I call it, with no disparaging things here, but I call it the Martha Mafia now, because that was totally how they handled their shit.
Yeah, I mean, that was really evocative of the Mafia, Like, just a few of them show up to tell you you will not be doing the thing that you are planning on doing.
You just come in here thinking you run the joint. We got stuff going.
Finally, we agree to let you do it, but we are offering you no protection.
Yes. So,
no guarantees.
First thing I asked Tiana was, what'd she think? And she said, I asked, you know, is there any surprises? And she said she saw the one coming, which we think we both kind
super of saw it coming.
Telegraphed Serena kind of selling Fred down the river to get to Nicole.
I wondered about that when she had the talk with him, where she was like, no, this is how this is going to go. Right. I have this phone. I was like, this is very well thought out. Okay.
And, you know, even though they didn't confirm it at the end of the episode, because they took them both into custody, they put them in separate vehicles.
Which, and they were much kinder to Serena.
And Serena didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. And she was very much like looking over at Fred, even, you know, she was probably upset because it's her husband. And I'm sure
she
loves Fred.
She looked like, you know, sad about it, but also like,
Okay, this is what I got to do. All
right, this is going according to plan.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
Wouldn't it be funny if we're completely wrong and actually she did not plan it?
That would be amazing. But that's not the vibe I got.
I don't think so either.
She was, because it was like the whole thing.
But that would
like,
be one hell of a twist.
Like saying goodbye to Rita like it was the last time. And like even when she got in, she was getting ready to drive in the car, she kind of looks back at Gilead like, farewell, Gilead. I'm out of here. And then the whole conversation in the woods
miles
with Fred.
An hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fred is not
having
not
sex with Fred.
Super,
for
I know,
time,
right?
You know?
I was like, oh, goodbye, sex.
Yeah,
that's
all...
almost sweet, but it's Fred.
So, but she said, you said the one part you did not see coming, which was the other
part. I did not see the stabbing happening. That was really not how I was expecting that scene to go. I didn't have explicit expectations for how that scene was going to go, other than bad.
Yeah.
But that was definitely
that was not
what
I
was thinking was coming.
So that was a shocker. Like, I think that's one of those where people will watch it and be like, ah.
I gasped out loud, freaked out my dog. She was like, "What? Is somebody here?" What?
And you strike me as not the type of person that is like easily surprised slash shocked to the point of gasping.
Correct. Much to my little brother's chagrin, it is really, really tough to surprise me.
Yep.
Even when I didn't see it coming, I am generally not what you would call surprised.
Yeah.
That
doesn't surprise me.
That doesn't surprise me about you
at all. You strike me as one of those people that like prepares yourself to be shocked or... Like,
or maybe I'm just dead inside, so I don't, you know,
I
don't know.
That's not true. That's not true.
It could be.
Not true at all. For those of you keeping score at home, Tiana's not dead inside. So our big plot points this week were June not going to get a truck.
Yeah, I mean, just beyond that, I think that plot point was really like, oh, Commander Lawrence is like...
screwed.
Way less connected than he was a week ago.
Yeah, his hubris has dropped dramatically.
Like that's really big news in this scenario, you know?
I mean, you've seen this character go from the cockiest guy in the room, you know, Mr. One-liner, quip, you know, last man standing, guy that has to say the last thing before you leave the room, to totally, like, this fragile dude who's basically turned over his entire life to the handmaid.
Yeah, I mean, he gave her the gun.
They'll be coming.
Good Lord.
For us, right? So the Martha Mafia shows up because June's interfering with their plans, and they're like, hey, 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 we got stuff going. Step off. And then Lawrence's wife, that whole thing was crazy.
Yeah.
And then them taking off, that was even more crazy. And then
I didn't think they were coming back.
Well, I
thought surely he was going to hide.
I don't know. Where are they going to hide?
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know where. I don't know.
They killed off a lot of people. There's surely places to hide where they're like just, it's not sparsely populated or something.
But I think you can only hide for so long, especially when
it's not
you're,
like there's the internet for them to tell everybody, hey, here's this picture of this dude we're
still
looking for.
There's still a phone.
Oh, that's true. I guess, yeah.
The infrastructure has
Fred
to still
had a
be
laptop
in place.
At one point.
Yeah.
And presumably he does still.
Yes. We get our second iteration of Radio Free America.
Yeah.
With Oprah.
Yep, still Oprah.
Very short-lived. Fred clicks it off, doesn't want to hear it.
He was enjoying it.
He was.
Maybe he felt guilty.
His snazzy suit.
Oh, man. And the sunglasses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
car.
The whole thing going. They were all very excited to pretend to
the
be normal.
The electric car.
It was electric car?
Oh, it was so quiet. It had to be electric.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah. Otherwise, you would have heard a lot of engine sound when
that's true.
When they switched.
That's true. And I did not notice that. So cool on that. Now, a couple things before we dive deep into this episode. Last week, there were several things that we asked our listeners / Facebook people to help us with. So the opening music, which Sarah could not identify, was
not Beethoven, right?
Beethoven's Ninth
it
Symphony.
It is Beethoven.
Second movement of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, says Mr. Norman Lieber. He informed us of that. I told him that I could not prove
him
correct,
Norman
but then
Lieber.
A few other people also chimed in saying that was also the case.
Much appreciated.
Regarding the issue with are there other religions that are like against medical, like medicine and that type of thing?
Are there?
Someone wrote in and said Jehovah's Witnesses also have some restrictions on medical care, specifically that they may not receive, and this is just, I'm just going off what she's saying. I have not confirmed any of this, so I apologize if this is wrong. If we have any Jehovah's Witnesses out there listening to us, which would be strange and unusual.
But highly interesting.
Totally. It says they have some restrictions on medical care, specifically that they may not receive blood or blood products. Christian Scientists do not do doctors, but she didn't know the parameters. So, and she said just maybe Gilead doesn't have access to pharmaceuticals in general, which is something we mentioned. Like, they're cut off from the world, and they've taken down like every other...
They were getting it somehow before.
Right. Well, they were taking... I mean...
Like, from Gilead. Like, not like the black market. It was...
Right. Well, Gilead. I don't know. It's been 5 years. You got to think maybe there's a stockpile of whatever medication to last 5 years if you've taken down, you know, some industry. And there's only so many people that you're allowing to have it. You know, if you have a lockdown on it, you could make something stretch out for a while if you needed to. But... I don't know.
Yeah, that shit becomes real, like, less effective over time, though.
One other thing is we were trying to figure out what Commander Joey was trying to do at the mantle when he couldn't find a thing. And we didn't know what the thing was that he was looking for. And Beth comes up there and he says, don't move my stuff. So we have forgotten, because it's been so long, that the Bibles are locked and the commanders have a key. And that's what he was looking for, was the key to unlock the Bible. and she had moved it because he doesn't ever use it.
That makes sense. So, because he doesn't keep it on him.
Correct. And so he had to make it look like it was her fault. So, yeah, I think that was all. I believe that is the only one. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Oh, somebody else. The quick Google search calls up links by conservative Christians who oppose the practice of psychiatry. Not all Christians, mind you. Yeah, no, because I've been Christian religion before and they were not necessarily opposed. All right, so let's dive in. Episode 11. We open with June in the kitchen and we learn that we have how many muffins?
A lot.
52 muffins for a 10.
There were sure more than 52 in the shot from last week.
There were. It's not important.
It really bothered me. Just saying.
My OCD let that one go.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Right?
That's really good for you,
uh-huh,
Justin.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, I was impressed too. We had to, some things we just have to let be.
But it was...
More muffins whatever. Makes for a prettier shot. I'd rather have the pretty shot than accurate muffin count. That's just me.
Okay. Yeah.
So, for those keeping score at home, we have 52 muffins and 10 muffin places. So, 10-seater, and June's trying to figure out how the hell are we going to get 52 kids into a 10-person vehicle. But wait, we don't have much time to think about that because Eleanor has gone a little rogue again.
Yeah, Eleanor is taking matters into her own hands.
And what does she do? Walk the three people through what we're seeing here.
June walks in. I think she hears them shouting from the other room.
She's like screaming.
And it's loud. Clearly something is happening. And they're in the study, or what used to be the study, I don't know. And Eleanor is holding Joey at gunpoint.
Yep.
Right to his head. Yep, right to his head.
Not messing around.
She's for reals. And she is kind of like freaking out, ranting, like, you made this happen. You caused her to be raped.
Yep.
Like, you built the system that caused all of this.
Yeah, which is another interesting
thing. And all accurate.
Right. So I've had a couple interesting Facebook conversations, posts/replies, because it's been kind of unclear, at least to me, like what involvement he actually had beyond the economic.
Yeah, I am super unclear on that, yeah.
And so this kind of led me to believe, and everything his wife has always said is like, it's his fault. Like, he was at least a main cog in the wheel of the whole creation of this whole thing.
He at least, well, I mean, it's clear he at least didn't stand up and say this is not a good idea.
And I did say as someone, like, even if he was just the economic guy, it's not like, to do the economic part, you have to know literally everything else that is going to be going on. Because to have any, you got to look at what the economics of all those situations are and what makes it most viable and blah, 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 blah. So he knew.
Yeah.
Whether he was like the guy that said, hey, let's rape him or not.
Right.
Regardless.
Well,
matter.
For everybody who didn't stand up and say, hey, raping them is a bad idea.
Right.
Your fault.
Yes.
Totally your fault.
Yes. You didn't say, don't do it.
Yeah.
So therefore you said, do it.
So she's ranting on, you know, all of the things that she finds him at fault for, clearly just totally losing it. This was apparently the time that one straw was too many. And he is not denying any of these things. He is trying to calm her down, but like, also clearly fearing for his life. He is freaking out and sweating and like looking, trying like not to stare down the barrel of the gun.
Right.
He tries to, when he realizes June is coming in, he tries to shoot June away and get her out of the room. I presume because he thinks his wife might shoot both of them. Yeah. And of course June doesn't, because when does she ever listen to anybody?
Right.
So eventually it turns out so that, Eleanor is at one end of the room, the back end of the room, aiming the gun at Commander Lawrence, who is like down on his knees at this point, gun pointed to his head. And June slowly makes her way in from behind Commander Lawrence, from the door to the room, talking to Eleanor, talking her down. You know, she is also not denying that Commander Lawrence does seem to be responsible for all of these hideous things.
Yeah, I believe it. My favorite line of this whole thing is, I would also like to kill him.
I would also like to kill him, but I need him.
Yep.
I need him alive. I have a plan. And doesn't like give her great detail about what the plan is or anything, but does basically convince her that, yes, the plan will help make things better. I have a plan, but for this plan to work, I need him alive. And talks her down pretty incredibly. And I think Commander Lawrence at the end of that kind of looks like amazed that he's still alive, one.
Right.
And two, like, holy shit, how did she do that? Kind of, like, just so shocked that somebody was able to talk her down from that brink and that it was June, and like now they're hugging and everything is maybe gonna be okay.
Well, it's never always
gonna although be. I'm sure he starts hiding the gun in a different place.
Well, he gives it to June.
Well, that's later.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that being the same gun. That didn't even cross my mind for whatever reason. I did not expect us to open up that way.
No, me either.
There's so many things. Inside. You're like, oh, okay. Well, I guess the time for messing around is pretty much over. Because everything is like kind of coming to a head, right? Everybody is.
Yeah, especially, everything, it feels very high pressure.
Yeah, right, everybody's now feeling the heat, right? For the Lawrences specifically because of what happened last week. And specifically for Mrs. Lawrence, who on a good day in Gilead where she didn't have to deal with anything, was struggling. And now she's had to go through this horrible thing that she was told she would never have to go through, that her husband created, and now she's just like completely lost it. So she goes somewhere. We don't know where she goes. All we know is she's not in the room anymore. And there don't appear to be any like tranquilizer, so I'm gonna guess she just went and laid down.
Probably. I mean, what she mentioned being stuck with basically herbal tea. So
So not too happy. So this next scene is June and Lawrence post near shooting. And June is telling Lawrence that she's trying to get all these things together. And it's interesting because Lawrence goes into all these things about, he's making kind of these, for a guy who just had a gun to his head, making these kind of like offhand, like backhanded, not even backhanded, really insults, but kind of low key, right? And he's talking about, mental health, we kind of overlooked that, that whole thing. And then maternal
he's
love.
He's kind of having some like mental backlash from what just happened.
He's like, oh, maternal love, we totally overlooked that one. He's just like having all these moments of all the things that they didn't think about when they were putting
Gilead
together.
Yeah, and
he's
saying them in like a sarcastic tone of voice, but also like, they did. Yeah. They did really
totally not
think not account it. For or wildly underestimate these things.
Yeah, which is what happens when you, are coming up with this kind of thing, because the only people you can have in the room when you're coming up with this kind of shit are people that
are men.
Mostly agree. Well, obviously are men, hopefully. I mean, aside from Serena knowing.
Well, they shut Serena out when things
true.
Got serious.
When the heavy planning, we assume, was going on. But, you know, it's guys that are mostly on board with the whole plan already. So it's not like you have any guys going, wait. That's a little too far. And then that guy gets shot. That's
clearly
what happens.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're in a room full of yes men.
You got a bunch of Joeys and Nicks.
Right. So you're not thinking exactly about the mental health of the women or the maternal, you know, instincts of the mothers, which to me would just seem, I don't know, that's just a little odd.
Like
which is why
part
you need
of fundamental human.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not too much of that going on. Not too much forethought. I mean, they had forethought. How do we keep everybody oppressed?
And well planned. And, you know, they had forethought about like, but what about when we want to have sex with other women that don't want to have sex with us? And like made a plan for that.
Yeah. But they didn't think, what happens if they all get pissed off at the same time? Yeah.
Or even like anytime you're in a very compromising position.
For sure. So Lawrence, just reiterates the fact that he wants to get his wife out. June says she wants more trucks. June is like very, 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 very on the negative side of giving a fuck about anything.
Yeah.
She's just pretty much asking for what she wants at this point and kind of, you know, not taking orders from anyone. June said, wouldn't it be funny if he actually turned out to be a hero in this story? And he does not reply to that. Last week he was like, oh, I'll be a hero. Like he didn't deserve it. He deserves it less this week, but he does not decide to reply to that.
Yeah.
All right. So. This is the next scene is the beginning of the Fred and Serena expedition to what we presume is war crimes trial. So
presumably they're beginning this, getting ready to go on this journey to get the baby, right?
Yep.
Well, I was a little unclear. Like, is this like just to go talk about getting the baby?
Yeah, so
or to
I guess
actually physically go get
they
the baby?
Said
I was
because,
unclear.
Yeah, because like you said earlier when she's talking to Rita walking out, she kind of frames it as we're taking negotiations into our more personal, we're having a more personal involvement in the negotions, which leads
and
me
it's clear she said she was only going to be gone for the night because that's what Rita packed for her.
Right.
Same toiletries, but only one night.
So if we're thinking like that in this faux scenario that isn't real, we're supposed to assume that they were going to go to that one house that they stayed at and then meet up with Captain Freedom Pants, do their thing, and then drive back. Right?
Yes. I forgot you call him Captain Freedom Pants.
Well, that's not my name, but it's a great name, so I had to use it. Thank Delia for that one. So, yeah, you want to break this down? You want to break this scene down?
No, go ahead.
Let me? Yeah. Okay. Because I love everything about this. So, there's a few things. So, again, Rita walking out is asking lots of questions, which we've already decided that she's filtering to other people, whether that's her Martha Mafia friends, or I feel like she's got...
I feel like that's her second job as a Martha, I think that's to get true. All the info.
So, I'm still wondering if there's a Nick connection there with her, that maybe
really?
Nick have a thing. Yeah, because I'm still kind of convinced that Nick is working for somebody else. Just, and I know.
Yeah, I know. So do not care if Nick is doing anything right now.
And I don't know if that's because I just feel like I really hope this character is doing... Nick. I really hope his character is doing something important, because we haven't heard anything since he was walking down the train like Snowpiercer with all of his his people. And everybody was like, what's that? And they're like, that's not important. We'll be back later.
It would be much better if Rita was the one making things happen.
That would be true.
Also, so, she's awesome.
She is awesome. And it's sad that we haven't seen much of her, but I digress. So... Serena says they're taking a, quote, more personal approach in negotiations to get Nicole back. So essentially what this tells me is they have kind of done this under the table, that nobody else in Gilead knows this is happening, and they're going to go do this on their own with the intent of getting Nicole back and not worrying about the political stuff, which...
I wonder what they think would happen, like, when they, like, got Nicole back, and then Gilead had lost that card.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, which is why I
would
don't...
they be punished? That kind of seems like something they might be punished for.
Which is why it seems like a kind of a paper, like a paper tiger plan, more or less, from Serena, just to give Fred that idea to get him to buy into going.
Yeah.
Like, if he really would have thought through it, which is not his strong suit, he would have said, well, hey, this plan has X, Y, and Z flaws. The only time that Fred had any inkling that something might be wrong is when he had driven, like,
this is not just up the road,
20 minutes up the road.
Yeah.
And is in, okay, Fred.
He's in, like, almost a different part of, a different type of forest by the time he questions things. So he's clearly been driving a while.
That's clearly Fred has not seen a movie in a long time. Because if you've seen the action movie, you know when you get to the heavily wooded area, that there is a really good chance that there are people that are going to come out of those woods and get you.
Yeah.
Especially if you happen to be a war criminal in their eyes.
Yeah.
So it made me...
I think Fred doesn't grasp the gravity of what the rest of the world thinks of him. You know? I mean, I don't think he really thinks about that. I think he is so concerned with his image in Gilead and the power that he may have there that he gives zero thoughts, zero brain cells to what... What do these people whom I'm trying to negotiate with think of me?
Right.
And think of my ability to get things done, or my value as somebody high up in Gilead, or somebody that's just, you know, rub shoulders with important people in Gilead for a long time, so I might have information. I don't think he thinks about any of that stuff.
Yeah, and I feel like to him,
he's an idiot.
Because he's a moron. Like, Serena has pretty much sold this from the beginning since she got back, which... I guess my assumption after this, should this play out the way we think, which I can't imagine it's playing out any other way, we are to assume that she's been playing this way since she returned from Canada.
Like, I did not get... Oh, wait. Which return from Canada are you referencing?
After she saw Nicole
at
the airport. So when she got the phone from the guy. Because...
I don't know. At first, she seemed really trusting that he was going to get it done.
Yeah, but I don't think she really thought that. I don't know. To me, it seems like she got off the plane... Because she made the whole, like, this is one of those episodes that, like, colors every episode
before it differently.
Yeah, like,
I want to go back and rewatch.
So when you watch that episode about, I think it's the same episode where they shuffle her into the TV studio and she was talking to her, I think, the next episode after, and was like, you got to understand that everything changed for me after I saw her. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't really give specifics as to what that means. But to me, that just means that I think she's been trying to groom Fred to get to the point where she could go, hey... Let's go do this on our own.
But why, if she has been planning that this entire time, why wouldn't she have just stayed?
It's a great question.
I don't think she's been planning it the whole time. I think she saw how inept Fred was and how much even people above Fred were interested in keeping her in Canada.
Right.
So that they would have this bargaining chip and this thing to make themselves seem sympathetic in the public eye. And she was like, fuck that.
It's interesting. We'll see. I don't know. Because to me, it's like she came back and nothing had changed necessarily. Like, there was still nothing about Gilead that was going to be different for Nicole.
No.
Which was the whole reason she let him go in the first place. And that didn't seem like a thing that would change in her eyes. Like, even though she really wants her to be there, like, she clearly has these mixed feelings.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that was terrible thinking on her end.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Like, that she would be able to protect her from all of Gilead.
Right.
I mean, come on.
But that's why I think that since she got back, and it maybe it was just one of those, like,
of course, unless she did just get that rude awakening at the hospital where she saw young girls who were there to get checked because they were menstruating now.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, by the state, that's highly creepy and irregular compared to real life today. So, I mean, maybe some of that just kind of jarred her back to reality.
I don't know. It'd be interesting. It'd be interesting to see if there's any kind of reveal of, like,
her thinking.
What she's been doing behind the scenes.
That doesn't seem very much like the show, though. I don't think we're going to get that.
No, it does not. So Serena tells Rita we're taking a more personal approach. Fred pulls up in apparently electric, fancy sports car. And he's all
himself today.
He is totally feeling himself in his fancy suit.
He's got the fancy suit. He's clearly feeling all cool.
Got the sunglasses.
Black car, sunglasses.
Serena's still dressed like Serena.
Yeah, she's still dressed like a wife.
Yeah. Which is interesting because I guess the commanders can wear whatever they want. You know.
Yeah, I don't know. Commander Lawrence wears different things at home.
Yeah, they were still in Gilead and they still were going to that family's house, so they knew they were still going to be there. It just felt a little...
That's true.
Felt a little snazzy for Fred, you know?
Yeah, well, it wasn't his, like, uniform or a regular suit.
Yeah.
It was not his average suit.
They take off in the car. And we're all kind of like, this is interesting. So we've learned that they're kind of staying for one night. Wherever they're going to rendezvous with the captain. So Fred says, it's nice to drive again. And then they take off. Creeper. Serena drive later.
Later,
which is pretty cool.
At this point, though, it just looks like he's rubbing it in her face.
Yes, totally rubbing in her face. At that point, I really didn't know what to think. I still thought it was time to sell Fred down the river, that I thought that's where we're going, and that's pretty much where it's going.
Yeah, pretty much as soon as I saw her with Rita, I was like, oh, this is the time. This is it. Because you do not care about Rita that much most of the time.
No, yeah, because she makes this comment to Rita, thank you for loving Nicole so much, and she's very, like, overly complimentary about her.
And she, like, wishes her...
Yeah, she says
blessings or something.
There's some weird God
like
thing that.
That
she says at the end.
Some
which,
weird God.
Yeah, well, it's
thing.
Like God bless you and your, you know, whatever they, you know, all the shit they say. And I said, I even
all
quoted
the Gileadisms.
I said weird. I think she's getting out and selling Fred down the river. That's where that's headed. Next scene is June and the Marthas. We have a meeting of June and the Martha Mafia, as I'm calling them, and they are not happy. That June's been kind of going rogue and talking to the other Marthas and hasn't been informing them of their plans. Although I don't know that June really knew there was...
Oh, no. She seems very surprised by this situation. But she was like, but they said yes.
Right.
And they're like, but they answer to us.
It's interesting, though. Like, it seems like one of those things, like, Beth, who's plugged into all of it, would have gone like, hey, Tio, time out. Maybe we need to talk with...
Let's talk to the boss ladies.
With the boss ladies first. And no, she never said any of that.
Yeah.
She was just like, hey.
I don't know. I mean, maybe she's never had a problem with them, so she didn't realize that might happen.
Yeah, I mean, I guess no one's also planned anything to quite the extent of, hey, let's get 10 kids out in a truck.
Yeah.
Which is kind of some next level.
52.
And I think the main thing that we learn here is that they have some big thing planned, which will be interesting to see how this plays out.
Yeah, what's in the shipment?
Yeah, there's a big shipment coming in on a plane.
It's the bombs. That would be great.
That would be great. So at the beginning of the season, you remember she got the bomb maker out, because even Beth says, I vouch for her. She got the bomb maker out. She saved this house a bunch of times, blah, 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 blah. Which is all true. Mm-hmm. Although she doesn't mention any of the other, you know, stuff. That she has a body count of like 7,000 or whatever it is. I don't even know if it costs track now. I know that's high.
Yeah, it's mostly indirect body count, though, which is interesting.
It's true. It's all
that
very
true. That
comes
into play later in the episode.
So the Marthas who are in charge are like, look, whoever talked to you, they went behind us.
Right.
And, you know, we got this going, so you're not doing this. And June's like, what the hell's your problem? She stands her ground pretty good,
she
I will say.
She was like, but kids.
Yeah. Yeah, but kids, and why not kids? And so they have this whole back and forth, and then finally the Marthas are like, fine, you can do your thing, don't interfere with our thing. The Marthas that are working with you are doing it on their own. Their blood is on your hands, which is always a bad thing
to
say.
Right?
It's a bad line.
So ominous.
So,
and you will not get any help or protection.
Yes. Right. No help or protection.
Which makes me wonder, like, what kind of help and protection could they have given? Could this be going much more smoothly?
Well, I would guess, like, you know, for instance, like... when the bomb maker lady, the other one got shot and they showed up at Lawrence's house, I guess if that happens with June and somebody else, one of the other Marthas shows up at somebody's house and they're like, eh, good luck down the road. So yeah, offers no protection, but says they won't stand in her way. So they're, you know, at least at this iteration of the plan that they know about currently of trucks, they're okay. They're all fine, which is going to get interesting because the truck's about to disappear. Like some kind of bad David Copperfield magic. So let's get Beth vouches for the Marthas, give her the okay. Not so much approval, but a we're not going to stand in your
after
way.
After Beth vouches for her. Yes. Yeah, that seems to carry weight.
Yes. But again, Beth, why couldn't you warn us? There was a highly organized Martha Mafia.
I don't know.
I kind of feel like Beth knew. But
I don't know. Well, it's not like they can all get together and talk. You know, they don't go over ground rules together at a monthly meeting.
They might.
This is not book club.
The Martha Mafia.
They have to send messages with scones and muffins.
That's true.
You don't get very much detail with scones and muffins.
That's true. And to be honest, like they were probably risking a lot, even like getting together and going there and showing up at the house, right?
Only in a house with that kind of catacomb level basement can you get away with that.
Exactly. So next scene is the next part of Fred and Serena driving. And we learn that they are kind of on their way north-ish. I guess we're to assume that Fred thinks that they're meeting somewhere between Canada and upper Massachusetts. Yeah. I don't know how
I
the whole state situation
any,
works
like,
there.
Demilitarized zone or something they were heading for, but I assume they were heading for somewhere near the border. Just
yeah, the fact that Fred is fuzzy on the details of this underground.
Although they were driving in that convertible an awful long time to be that far north.
They were, because Serena's still wearing like her like almost winter garb when she leaves. So Fred and Serena talk about the Americans thinking, you know, Serena's really selling this, right?
Yeah.
She's selling
this
whole thing.
Well, I mean, as much as she's going to sell anything. Right. Yeah. Which is like, just enough for Fred.
Well, Fred doesn't take much. So she's talking about how the Americans think we're weak like them. They've underestimated our devotion to the cause.
Yeah. And clearly, she's talking about him.
Yes.
He is the Americans in this discussion, and he just doesn't know it yet.
Yes. My next note was Serena's going to give him Fred. And then they discuss returning the world to its natural state. So they're driving through this, it's pretty much nothing, but it's, you know, essentially open fields.
It's nothing, but it's like not filled with like oil derricks or anything like that. Like there's the evidence of humans has basically been removed.
Right. And they kind of talk about how this whole area used to be industry and factories and they removed it all. And now it's nature back to its original nature state,
you know, with some decrepit, filling stations here and there.
Yes, that's true. Oh, that's the water here. So Fred turns on the radio. Well, they got the radio on playing regular music.
Oh, yeah.
But then I guess Fred didn't realize maybe that they were listening to Radio Free America.
I think the Radio Free America thing is later, isn't it?
But they don't change the station. They're just listening to music in the car.
Yeah, he just turns it off.
And he
but
turns
then later
it off.
It's on, and then it says Radio Free America.
No, that's when they're driving. It's now because they're listening to it while they're driving. But there's no station break until that point. And so it's Oprah pops in, broadcasting somewhere from the Great White, Radio America broadcasting, and Fred clicks it off. And then he's like, hey, Serena, you want to drive? And Serena's like, oh, driving, I remember that. And she gets this look on her face like, oh, you can never drive.
Yeah, she demurs at first.
Yeah, she does. She's all like, whatever. But then she gets in and she's like, fuck this, let's go. And then she's like all excited to drive. Like it would be
she's
if you
really
haven't driven.
Given the car its paces.
Right. And if you feel like you haven't driven in what we know now is 5 years.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, not even just not driving. Like they have a huge open stretch of road with no other cars.
Yep.
That is the place you would want to drive if you had not gotten to drive in 5 years.
Exactly. So Serena drives. She seems very pleased with herself. And she's totally selling Fred out, I said. I said, please leave Fred in Canada or something. Please, Lord. They end up at some family's house, which is not what I was expecting necessarily.
Me either. This family felt so different than the families we're used to seeing in Gilead.
Yes, because clearly rural. I mean, this is out there.
Yeah, they must be very cut off because they are observant, but they're also happy.
Yeah, no.
In a way that we really just don't see non-Gilead leaders being. And even Gilead leaders, like, their houses are not generally this happy.
No, this was a very, like, you know.
What's his name's in D.C. house was very happy, but, like, they had everything they could ever want, and
And the difference is in the, you know, kind of in everything, right? So there, it's very gray palette of this whole shot because they're, you know, because they're not Econo people, but they're lower on
the,
I guess they are Econo people because they're wearing gray.
Yeah, because the wife is wearing like grayish stuff.
And very similar to like if you saw Eden's family last year, that's basically the same thing.
Except happy.
Yes, very happy. Like, you know, they have a thing on the porch
later.
They
have a bunch of children.
They have a ton of children.
Grandparents are there. They have a legit, actual, really theirs family.
Yeah.
Not a commander and wife who can't have babies and stole somebody else's family.
Right.
They have a legit family, and they seem fine.
Yeah.
They are the most fine of anybody I think we've seen in this entire series.
And that's probably because they're so far away from all the bullshit.
I know, they're so far away.
And they don't have to worry about the handmaid situation, and they're just kind of...
Well, I mean, they will later when their girls grow up, but...
Yeah. So, next scene is the Lawrence house. I find out that the Lawrence and his wife have taken off. So, I think... At this point, I believe this is the scene where they try to take her food, Mrs. Lawrence, and they're like...
Yeah, like I think we enter the house in the kitchen.
Yes.
And then the second Martha, whose name escapes me, came in and is like, "Have you? She's not eating again or something
She didn't
like
even open the door, she said. Yeah. She didn't even take any of it. And June's like, "Have you seen either one of them?" Because I think it dawns on them that none of them have seen any of them.
Yeah.
So they run to the study where he's at least left a note for June that says, "Sorry."
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like the Gilead equivalent of like breaking up over a text.
That is Gilead texting.
It was bad.
Yeah, it's old school texting.
It was bad.
Dear...
She was not nearly as violent as I would have been upon finding that.
Yeah, so she was pissed. It might as well have been like, "Dear June, sorry, love Joey." Yeah. No, that's what it was. So then June and Beth argue because June is like, "We still got to get these kids out because I can still get kids." And that's like her thing now. Right. And
she got the kids. She just doesn't have a van now.
Right. So now it's interesting, like, in the face of having this plan and this mission, which is what kind of it's turned into, right? Because she was totally, like, on the, I don't know
it's
where Hannah is, screw the world, to, I'm going to get as many kids out as I can, have a plan, have a truck, to, my dude's gone, I got no truck, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. So now she's just, like, grasping at whatever she can get. And so she's going to fly in the face of the Martha Mafia. And go talk to Billy, who we learn is their contact at Jezebel's. And he's the bartender, and he likes money. So he's
I think, And I feel like we leave her in the midst of trying to figure out how she's going to get to him.
Yes. Yeah. This is really just her and Beth arguing about, you know, even talking
to
Billy.
Like, bad idea.
Yeah.
Bad idea.
Because I think Beth at this point is like, I'm out of whatever the hell you're about to do. Because
can you blame her?
Yeah, because
she has seen what happened with June's previous plans.
Yeah, exactly. Even vouching for June, she was like, because even I think she even says, like, I should have never vouched for
you. Yeah, she does.
Because you're a little crazy. So, yeah, because even, like, talking about Billy being their contact and helping them, it's not because he's, like, this up-and-up guy. It's because Billy likes money.
Because he's like a thief.
Is what he says, basically.
He doesn't care.
Yeah, Billy is kind of, you know, going, he's kind of mercenary, for lack of a better term. He's going to go with wherever the cash goes.
Yeah, he's Boba Fett in this situation.
Oh, look at you busting out the Star Wars bounty hunter knowledge. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. So, back to Fred and Serena's show. Now, what does a happy Christian family do in the evening times?
Obviously, somebody plays an instrument and they all gather around and sing in glorious harmony.
And what do they sing?
Hymns.
They sing the only thing that I think I've sing as much as Gloria, which is Dona Nobis Pacem. I couldn't even believe that this was, like, after the week where we had the Gloria thing where I was like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, I sang Gloria way too much. They had the full-on Dona Nobis Pacem, which I also
sang. I have never
heard
this
before. Oh, my God.
Never heard it before this episode.
If you're ever in a church choir or a concert choir in school or both.
I did sing in choir.
Dude, we sang this all the time.
Yeah.
It was just another one of those.
I did sing in choir, secular choir, and we did not sing this.
Yeah.
And I went to a lot of church choir practices with my grandma, but I don't remember them singing this. Apparently my church was just very different.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't your flavor of church. I don't know. But
doesn't sound like
sang it so much. It was ridiculous. So it was another one of those where I was like, no. Any song with that. Anything. But they're singing
it. I just thought it was kind of lovely to listen to. They sounded great.
And they were into it. But Fred and Serena seem a little uncomfortable with it, which is interesting.
I just thought they seemed uncomfortable with each other.
They're a little uncomfortable with most things. But I thought it was interesting that Serena usually and kind of the, because you see her
it's like, oh my God, children.
Family, yeah, because she's very much not like that. So, which is another indication that she's, something else is going on.
Yeah, I feel like
here.
This is a point at which she is maybe for real struggling with her decision. Maybe.
Maybe.
I'm not sure. It feels a little bit like she's waffling to me.
But as we know, the best way to not be in doubt with Fred anymore is to have a conversation with him. And have him answer questions. And then you're like, he's like one of those guys.
Oh yeah, totally worth giving you up.
Because I feel like on the surface, he could be like a guy who's like, because he's a puppy dog, right? Like at moments he can seem like sweet dude and be like all about you, but then he like goes and pisses on the corner
so
over there
dumb.
And you're like, oh,
he's
yeah.
so dumb. It doesn't matter how sweet he is.
So he's the golden retriever. So I'm sorry, golden retriever people. I'm sorry I just insulted your favorite dog. I don't like him.
Okay then.
That's okay. I know people are gonna be mad. I like all dogs. I just make fun of golden retrievers because they're like, I don't even know how to explain them. They are like the sunshine
like
and rainbows.
From
yes.
Up.
They're like, nothing is wrong in the world. How you guys doing today? It's a great day to be alive, isn't it? That's those dogs. They kind of drive me crazy. Because I feel like they know how awesome they are.
Do you need more doomsday and your dog?
I know. I just feel like they give me the vibe of, they know they're the like favorite dog breed on the planet. And
are they?
Dude, yeah. There's so many. They aren't so much anymore. But like when I was growing up, golden retrievers were everywhere. So I just got a little tired of them. Plus I had one that used to live next door to us, barked all the time. True. That might have something to do with it.
Okay. Not bitter at all.
Nope, not even a little bit. So, Fred and Serena sneak out into the woods, like you do.
Yeah, like teenagers.
When you're visiting, it seemed odd.
It did seem really odd, and it seemed like they would be giving up, like, making that family think that they're up to something.
Well, not even that, just like, oh,
I guess it doesn't matter if you're planning on never leaving Canada, but...
Well, to the family, you got to figure, Fred, it's a commander and a wife. You can't really say anything to them, but it does seem kind of rude, like, singing.
It seemed strange.
Time to go to the woods and talk. So Fred, they're essentially talking about Serena is kind of pushing this to what if this had never happened? What if there was no Gilead? What would become of us, Fred? And Fred talks about how Fred would still be in what sector does he work in?
Marketing.
Oh, Fred's in marketing.
I mean, I was so disappointed to hear that.
Interesting.
Also, he would have been fucking terrible.
Clearly, he's terrible at everything.
So terrible.
I wonder what he marketed.
Cigarettes probably. I don't know.
Good call. Fred pushing
something
cigarettes.
Terrible.
I got
cigarettes and alcohol.
I got it. I know it.
Vaping.
So she talks about how, you know, in their old apartment, that's where she wrote her first book. And then she makes this comment.
Also, how many books did she write?
Yeah, that's a good
question. This is multiple references to her writing multiple books. Now I'm very curious about it.
That's a good question. I don't know. So she then says, how could you take that away from me? But she says it in a...
kind of a playful way.
Yeah.
Like, haha, but you didn't really take it away from me, although you did. But not really, because I consented.
Which, again, shows you how stupid Fred is, because I don't care how playful you say the words, how could you take that away from me?
I know, it still sounds like such an allegation,
right? It sounds like a thing that is about to happen before you get A, divorced, or B, delivered to, you know, the authorities in Canada, or stabbed. Something bad is about to happen to you. Anytime anyone says the words, how could you take that away from me?
It's very interesting how you put stabbed, turned over to the authorities, and divorced on the same playing field there.
Well, they're, you know, I ranked them. Clearly being stabbed is, I guess, not the worst in this scenario. You could live through a stabbing. I don't know what's going to happen to you in Canadian jail. Although I have to imagine if you're going to get extradited to any country.
True story. Canada is probably going to be the one. Probably the least likely to torture you horribly.
Right. That's probably true.
I bet the cells are nice.
Yes.
They probably have windows.
They might even clap for him when he gets there.
Mattresses.
Would they think they're going to clap for him like Emily when he gets there?
I hope they spit on him.
I hope they do too. So she says that line, and I was like, oh, she's kind of going there a little bit. Fred?
A little bit, but not really.
Fred doesn't really pick up on it.
He doesn't read between the lines.
And to me, it wasn't even passive aggressive.
No, I don't think it was either. It was just, why was her head even there?
Yeah, it was just bizarre. So Serena asks what he thinks if they would happen. Fred says, you know, I'd be in marketing, you'd be a pundit somewhere on television. Mm-hmm. And then he goes into the what was me, sad Fred story of you would have married some guy that's more able to give you children, which...
Also, is this the first time he references being infertile? Because it's the only one I can think of.
That he does, yes. As far as I can remember.
Exactly. That he says himself.
Yes, that he acknowledges
out
loud.
I have been wondering this whole time, all three seasons, like... is he in denial? Does he realize he can't father children? I'm not 100% sure that he really understands.
Right. Yeah,
but it hasn't confirmed.
To my knowledge, it's the first time. Now, what we don't know is, like, had they tried a whole bunch before and she couldn't get pregnant, and that's how he knows that he's probably the problem. You know, like before the takeover.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because obviously she wanted a baby real bad, which is her whole justification for everything that she's done involving Gilead. Yeah. So my take is maybe they had been trying for a long time and didn't lay blame on one side or the other, but Fred kind of knew, you know, probably not Serena. So, yeah, they keep talking about it. And so then they go back to the house. And they're in Ozzie and Harriet, Ricky and Lucy, separate twin beds motif.
Yeah.
And you know. If you're a person with brain who has
eyes.
If
you're a person that has a spouse.
You know.
And you see them looking at each other, you're like, oh, they're going to have sex now. Yeah. Okay,
so,
this is it.
So, once
that's
again.
That's the spousal bedroom eyes.
And.
Which are different than the single dating somebody bedroom eyes. Totally different.
Totally different eyes. So this is also interesting because, while yes, Serena has been a little more affectionate towards Fred, and we've kind of seen her kind of attempting to build that.
Yeah.
She still
some
had...
Some of it seemed to be for show.
Yeah.
Because, like, it wasn't all natural.
Was it last week or the week before? There was a moment where he touched her and she still, like, moved off of him or moved her hand away or whatever it was. So there hasn't been, like, these moments of, you know, true affection between the two of them.
Mm-hmm. Except for the dancing.
We're not talking about the dance.
I mean, I'm just saying it was a moment of true affection.
I still don't know if it was real.
Let's pretend it was
all
that.
It was all a dream.
Sure.
So off screen, we assume they get it on. And
I do not assume they get it on off screen.
Well, no, I mean in this scene.
Oh yeah, in this scene definitely.
This scene, for sure.
Otherwise, no.
Yes, and so I wrote down this is
between guilt and repulsion. I think they just don't do anything else.
Yes. So Fred seemed kind of surprised
mm-hmm.
that Serena asked for him. And the 12-year-old boy in me thought it was really funny that she said, come.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
Yeah.
A little on the nose there, Serena? No? Next scene. So that's where we leave Fred. We leave Fred and Serena in their Lucy.
In
and,
one of the twin
or Lucy
beds.
And Ricky beds having sex.
It's going to be so
loud. It's going to be loud in the farmhouse. That, like,
oh, man, you're right. I didn't think about that.
When Fred got up to walk between the beds, it was loud.
Rrr. Yeah, you're right. So, I didn't think about that.
I don't know. Do you wonder if that's like a... Maybe they'll put a plaque up. Commander Waterford
that's
and wife
disgusting.
Had sex at this house. And that'll be like a thing that, like, they'll talk to all their friends about.
All their friends who live
wherever
far away.
Yeah. Presumably. All right. So scene 8. Turns out Commander Joey couldn't get out. Dun, 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 dun. He's back.
And so disappointed about
it. Yes, he is back.
He seems devastated. And, like, it's really sinking in. That, oh, nobody trusts me anymore. They have figured it out.
Yes. So after...
I don't drink the Kool-Aid.
After last week's, we'll call it lackluster performance, probably in the eyes of leadership at the ceremony, it seems that Larry Lawrence here has lost his ability to move about with freedom. Because he comes back and June's like, what the fuck? And he's like, well, see, what happened was I tried to get out of here. But they changed all the pass codes and the security.
At least
clearance.
He took his wife. He was still legit trying to get his wife out.
That part seems sincere. About
that him. Is the only redeemable part of him taking off like that.
Yeah.
Is that he was legit trying to save his wife. But I do believe that is his real motivation.
I agree.
It's the only reason I have for not being ready to toss him over a bridge.
Yeah. Once she gets out, we can toss.
Yeah. True.
But it's interesting to watch Bradley Whitford and how he handles this character now.
Yeah, like, this character has had such an arc this season.
Because it is like a physical change in the way he carries himself.
Because it's Bradley Whitford and he's fantastic.
Yeah, he's awesome. And so you can really see that, like, he's taken them from this guy who was, you know.
He's just so broken now.
He is totally broken and totally knows he's screwed. And that it's all his own doing, essentially.
If his wife wasn't there, I feel surely he would have killed himself by now.
He seems like that kind of guy.
Yeah. But he's not because his wife.
Correct.
I don't know what he thinks he's going to do for her, but
yeah, I kind of feel
I'm sure it would kind of shatter her Yeah. Even if she did believe he deserved it, you know?
Yeah. I feel like him and June are kind of, as I said, I think they're kind of parallel characters on different sides of this mm-hmm. thing, right? They've only got one person to live for. And if they didn't have that person, you know, their whole thing falls apart. As you've seen, June's pretty much did, but she found a cause to yeah. rally for.
Yeah.
Thanks to Space Pirate Janine talking some sense into her. God bless you, Janine. You're the MVP. All right. So Lawrence says he can't get out. Codes are changed. So we know that June's like, so we can't get out then. I don't care about you. She's like, nah, we can't get out. So the truck does us no good and you can't get one to begin with. And June then just says, you're taking me to the city. So she's going with plan, I don't know what we're on, B, I guess. Truck was yeah. plan A, I think. So plan B for Billy.
Okay.
There we go. So Jezebel's, here we go. Back to Jezebel's.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as she said, you're taking me to the city, I assumed that was where they were going. But I was still like, oh, do we have to go back there? Because it makes me want to vomit every time.
Yeah, it still does.
Yeah.
So terrible. He drops her off and he waits outside in his car. I thought was interesting.
Yeah, like in the alley.
Yeah, just hanging.
Not suspicious at all.
Nope, not even a little bit.
Mm-mm.
So she makes her way through Jezebel's, and she saddles up.
Yeah, she remembers her way really well. I was impressed.
She does. She saddles up to the bar where Billy's at, who she thinks is Billy. She doesn't really right. know. But Billy reveals himself as Billy right. very soon. And so she goes into these negotiations with Billy because she kind of says, here's my plan. And Billy, like everyone else who hears the plan, says, are you A, trying to get killed, and are you crazy? And she's like, I need you to hold the plane for like 24 hours. And Billy's like,
24 hours,
you're
such
silly.
A long time.
And he's like, you can get 20 minutes. And so, but she has to promise Billy all of the art from Lawrence's
all
house.
All of the Lawrence's
house. She's like, I got a house full of Picassos and other artist type people that you probably remember their names. Mm-hmm. What are they? I don't remember.
I think she only said Picasso and
Renoir. Is there, I don't remember.
Is I don't Renoir? Know. She mentioned somebody else. Renoir.
Yeah. He's Maybe. A person that did a thing.
Yes, he did do
I appreciate
things.
The art. I just don't know the names.
He did do
it's
some
not
things,
my,
yes.
It's not my deal. So she promises that all to Billy, which would fetch a handsome sum on any black market anywhere in the world.
Yeah, I'm not sure who he would sell it to, but yeah, if he had buyers, I mean, he would be very rich.
There's obviously clearly a working underground for Billy already. So if he can.
Yeah, but I mean, like, we don't even know what he's selling. It could be any old stuff. It could be.
Billy's
know,
house of junk.
Mood stabilizers.
Right.
I mean, true. It could be very simple things.
Yeah. Because very simple things are hard to come by.
Yeah.
In Gilead. That's true. So June more or less sort of kind of gets Billy to buy in. Billy said he'll think about it. I don't even think we have a full confirmation.
No, we don't have a full confirmation. And it feels like she basically doesn't have assurance from anybody who is any other part of this plan. She is just sure that she is going to get everybody there by sheer force of will, I guess. You know, the Marthas said yes with muffins, but, like, do they still say yes after she gives them? Like, you have a 20-minute window at this time in this place, and,
right.
like, are you know, to get the kids there? I mean, I don't know. And it's very soon.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. She doesn't have confirmation from anybody, and I don't know that she has a way to be there herself. So,
no, I don't think so either.
So, I don't know how that's going
to
happen.
She just seems determined to keep moving the ball ahead no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's just, whether she...
On to the next person.
Yes. Yes. Somehow this is going to happen, because it has to.
And how on earth is she going to get Mrs. Lawrence there?
Right. And she makes this comment to Mrs. Lawrence earlier when she's talking her down from shooting Commander Lawrence that all of this has to be for something. So I think she's operating with that mindset as I got to get something done because otherwise this is completely
otherwise,
worthless.
Otherwise this was all for nothing.
Exactly. Which is, again, why I think her and Lawrence are kind of an interesting side of the same coin, right?
Yeah.
Because they're both at this point like, this was all for nothing because mm-hmm. the people I love, I can't help.
Yeah.
So turns out it's time for some hijinks to ensue. Winslow happens to be making an appearance at Jezebel's, which...
Dun-dun.
He's already creepy, and we already don't know a whole lot about him, right?
Yeah.
And so it was very interesting to be like, oh. Because he's kind of an intimidating guy. He's got like this.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
He walks with a lot of, what is the word I'm looking for?
Bravado.
He's very self-assured.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's definitely kind of an intimidating guy. Also, he's just like way bigger than June.
Yes.
way bigger than
June. Yes, he's a sizable guy. I will say, like, the first time we meet him in that episode where they're playing billiards, and he kind of puts his ass in Fred's face, or in general vicinity, somebody online, because the internet is magic, made an entire compilation of just shots of that actor's ass in various roles that he's played throughout shows, like whether it was Law and Order or whatever
What's
else he was
name?
On.
Christopher something?
I forget every time. I don't remember what his name is. But
I feel
yeah,
like I should know it.
Somebody made a compilation of just ass shots.
I didn't realize there were so many.
Yeah, but he has, like, if you look at it, he's got one of these, like, it's kind of bulbous. It's round. It's not okay. like...
He doesn't have flat
It's not like Fred flat ass. You know, yeah. Fred, he's just straight down, right? That's not what's going on here. This is like... Yeah, this is defined.
Okay.
So it's very noticeable.
So basically he works out.
He works out, yeah. Okay. He doesn't skip leg day. That's what happens. So he sees June and he's like, hey, fancy meeting you here.
Well, he calls her name from behind her as she's walking away from the bar. And I thought, like, he wasn't sure at first. Because he called her of Lawrence.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Not her name and not, like... I don't know. I just thought maybe he wasn't sure. And then she stopped, and I was like, why did you stop?
Yeah,
just keep walking. Keep walking. Go to a room like somebody is expecting you.
True.
Come on.
Yeah. But she stops and engages him.
Does.
And he says, let's have a little private meeting upstairs. And you're like, this is not going to go well.
Nope. Nope. Nope.
Yeah. So.
Hard pass.
Takes up to the room. And he asks why...
A very huge, elaborate room. This like, this was not the other rooms we've seen.
No, this is a big deal.
This is like the penthouse suite.
Yes. It has like a whole, like... I don't even know what you'd call it. It's like a gate, almost, between the bedroom.
They're like nesting doors,
That's even creepier. Can we not call them that ever again?
That's what they're called.
Nesting just sounds...
Okay, pocket doors?
There we go.
That's another word for them.
Dig it. I like that one.
Okay.
Nesting just sounds weird in this scenario.
All right.
Given what's usually occurring there.
Sure.
I'm sorry. So Winslow asks why Lawrence is there and why he's got her there and why he isn't present with her. And June tries to bullshit her way through it. He just likes for me to tell him what's going on afterwards, which is...
You know, you all have your kinks.
Right.
Which is true. But not the most believable thing in that scenario.
Yes, of all the kinks, that's the least plausible, I think, in this situation.
Yeah.
So he's like, why don't we give
also
him...
Also takes her a moment to come up with that.
Yes. So Winslow is like, well, let's give you something to tell him. And I was like,
let's not. Ew.
So then we go through this whole scenario of him getting June on the bed, take off your underwear, leave the shoes on.
Yeah, at first it looks like he's going to stand back and watch.
Yes.
He does which was, you know, reassuring at first, and then a big letdown.
I was reassured by nothing that was happening.
It was a lot better than what really did happen.
Yes. So then he tells her to turn over on her stomach. So I had a couple thoughts during this part of the scenario. Because we've seen kind of these innuendo of him having some homoerotic tendencies towards Fred. And the first thing it brought to my mind was Brokeback Mountain. Not in a, like, ha-ha, Brokeback Mountain way. But when I think
Heath
Ledger's...
Totally. It's easier to imagine.
Right.
If you're not looking at somebody's
face. Exactly.
Because
that's one of the things, like, with Heath Ledger's character. He's married to, what's her name? Michelle Williams. And that's pretty much the only way that they do it. And so that was one of the first things I thought of, was like, oh, that's interesting. That's the way he's doing this. But June,
apparently, I think he's an equal opportunity power grabber. I think he is in it for the power.
Regardless of who?
Yeah, regardless of who it is.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
He's a power raper.
Ew.
Yeah. Hyper ew.
Let's go back to nesting. I like nesting.
No.
Nesting. Power rapers. Awful. Okay. But at this point, we're like, okay, my brain is going, we're not going to rape June again, right? That's not what's going to happen.
Right. In early seasons, it was a thing that we were accustomed to dealing with.
Yeah.
And so was the character. That was part of life that she had to deal with. And she had built up these walls and made this system for herself where she could kind of leave her body a tiny bit and, you know, pretend it wasn't happening. And that was her way of coping. And ever since, she hasn't had to deal with that as a regular monthly part of life anymore. I mean, you can see her defenses breaking down slowly over this whole season regarding being raped.
Yeah.
She's just not as able to cope anymore.
Right. I don't think, I think.
It's not an unwillingness. She thinks she's going to be able to cope. Yeah. But she, you can see it breaking down.
I think we as viewers also are far less able
just
to
far
cope.
Less accustomed to it. And it seems more and more cruel as you go on.
Yes. So, fun fact, June's done.
Yeah, this is the point at which she is no longer able to hold it in.
Like, this is where the negative fucks run out. And then
so
she
apparently
like,
also does not skip out on leg day.
No, did not skip out on leg day.
Super powerful kicks.
Yes. So, because
he is no waif.
No, he's a big dude, as we have described before. And so June kicks him in the face, like square in the face. And then you're like, oh, shit. It's on.
Yeah, she's not messing around.
Because either somebody's going to die is essentially what's going to happen here. Or something terrible, worse than terrible,
yeah,
is going to happen.
Yeah, I thought probably
her.
He was going to knock her out.
Right.
I did not imagine that it would progress so epically violently in such a short span.
Yeah.
I thought he was probably just going to knock her out, and that's where we would leave
the
scene.
I was taking notes very quickly. Did he punch her?
Like, yeah.
Full hand punched her?
Because
that's kind of looked up, and that looked like what had just occurred, but I think I missed that little part.
Yeah, she took a couple shots to the face, but I think only one was a normal, like, full fist punch. I think the other one might have been backhand.
Backhand. Okay. Because when I looked up, it looked like he had just flat out, like, slugged her.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. That's what I thought I saw. So here's my notes from this as I'm watching it. And then June says, "Not today, motherfucker." And I said, "Hey, fight." And then it's stabby time. Because he tackles her, essentially, which is kind of the go-to move. If you're bigger than somebody, it's just like, fuck it, I'm going to just overpower you.
Yeah, and he's, like, prepared to rape her on the floor.
Yeah.
Holding her down. And she grabs this pen, I guess, out of his jacket pocket or something.
She sees it on the floor.
I don't know. Where did
she didn't have it.
I'm not exactly sure where it came from.
But
apparently
it.
It's a very sturdy pen.
Yeah.
Good thing they make good pens. She stabs him, like, 45 times with
it. Yeah. So.
And must have punctured his lung.
Yeah,
that's the only thing I can think that it would be like actually bringing him down rather quickly, but also like he's wheezing and still with it enough to try to beg for his life.
Right. So she stabs him like I'm going to do a little 30-second side story. So I have a peanut allergy. Anaphylaxis is a thing.
Yes.
And so I have an EpiPen where you got to stab yourself in the leg, you know? So I have a friend who has seen the movie Horrible Bosses. If you've never seen it, there's a scene where
that's right.
The one guy's character
does
like,
the EpiPen.
EpiPen, and he doesn't know how to do it. And he uses this line. He's like,
tiny stabs.
Little stabs. Yeah. Little stabs. And so my friend is obsessed with me having a peanut reaction and him
stabs,
being able to
FYI.
Do it. He's like, little stabs, Justin? Little stabs? And I'm like, you are never touching me ever, no matter what happens.
It's not little stabs.
So this is little stabs everywhere.
Yeah.
This is June,
over
like
front and side and back of torso. Yeah.
She is just going to town
until he stops.
I mean, she is just like, whack, whack, whack. It is lots of little watermelon stabs. So if you can just close your eyes when you're watching this and you imagine the sound affects people, that's because, you know, that's what I call every time somebody's head gets smashed. It's the watermelon. Because that's what they used to make that sound. And that's what it sounds
juicy.
Like. It's whack, whack, whack. That's what it sounds like when she's stabbing. I mean, she is like trying to make Swiss cheese of this motherfucker. Like, she is not messing around.
It was like a fancy metal pen.
Yeah, it was doing the job. But even in my head, I was like, is that going to be enough to like slow the dude down?
I thought that too until I started hearing wheeze.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. Because
the first stab, she goes for his chest.
Mm-hmm.
And so
the first bunch were in his chest.
And so, you know, I mean, if you get it in far enough, I mean, that's going to do some damage. And then she stabs him like all over his torso. So, I mean, if it's a good pen.
It was a lot.
And then she just keeps going around his back on the whole side. I was like, damn. She is not
messing
around.
Yeah, and at first he's fighting back.
And then he is clearly been wounded somewhere that he's not recovering from. And even at that point, I was like, so is he dead? Or is he just, like, passed out? Because then, once he's stabbed enough where he can't really get after her anymore, she takes some sort of statue thing that looks like, it looks like the equivalent
like
of, like, a like an award show, like an Oscar-sized type of thing.
Yeah, you know, probably like, about, all one,
yeah,
like,
all one giant
material.
Stone thing.
Yep.
And just smashes him over the head with it. And even at that point, I was like, is he really dead? I don't know if he's really dead.
I think he was really dead.
But he was super dead, turns out. So then June sits there for an undetermined amount of time.
Yeah, who knows how long she's in there, but I guess it wasn't all that long.
I don't know. Because
later, Lawrence is still out
still
there.
Still out there. That's
so
what I was wondering.
I guess it couldn't have been that long.
And I couldn't tell. I don't remember off the top
also,
of my head.
I am so surprised he didn't go in there.
I'm surprised he was there.
After she was gone for a long time.
I was convinced he
because
was not going to be
there. If you were him, wouldn't you be worried somebody would recognize her? Yeah. And then you would be in trouble?
But I wonder if he thinks at this point it's worse off for him if he makes an appearance anywhere. Because he's like persona non grata at this point.
Maybe.
You know? Even at Jezebel's.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's all, and you know, if he's never been to Jezebel's. Cause
even when nobody liked Fred, they still were congenial to him
at
Jezebel's.
That's true. So, yeah, she waits there for however long. Because my other thing I don't know is, like, between, like, what the daylight situation looks like when she comes out. It kind of still feel like it was dark.
It's nighttime still, yeah.
Okay. Because then the Martha slash maid comes in and is like, housekeeping? And she just comes in and she's like, oh.
She, like, immediately is like, I know what to do.
Yeah. And so the Marthas got their shit together.
Well, and this particular Martha, it turns out, was one of the ones that June had saved from the cages. She says that she was captured in Chicago and she was in the cages and saw June and remembers her, which is pretty impressive.
Yes. Said you saved me.
And that, June is the person that saved her. She was one of the four, I think.
Four or five.
Very few.
Yeah.
That just happens to be in this amazing position to now save June's life.
Right.
So she gives her key card and tells her how to get to the stairs.
Right.
Or the service elevator.
Elevator. And so then we get this, like, after June escapes, we get this whole montage of...
Commander Lawrence is still down there with the car.
Yeah, I totally thought he was going to be
miracle.
Gone. Totally thought he was going to be gone. I mean, you got to think that it'd be like...
At least an hour.
It was a while.
It had to be a while.
It was a while. Lawrence drives away as instructed by June. She was just like, drive. Mm-hmm. And he just does.
I think he looks over and see her all beat up and everything.
Right.
And is like, fuck yeah, we're driving.
Yeah, what else are you going to do? So then we cut to Fred and Serena. So they're waiting by the road, we assume, for Captain Freedom Pants.
At a defunct gas station.
Yeah, some old gas station.
Which I... also, like, kind of, that's the point at which I realize, oh, he's driving an electric car. Like, they don't need to stop for gas. They're just hanging
that's
out
true.
There.
That's
but
true.
But he's driving an electric car. Although the American is driving, like, a Dodge Charger or something.
Of course.
Yeah. Fred's driving, like, a Tesla.
Right.
And then the American's driving a Dodge.
So he pulls up and he's like, I have a place, a safe place we can meet a little up the way.
Just up the road.
And you're like... Oh, Fred, you're so dumb. So dumb. So Fred is...
I don't know how it's going to get safer than the...
The wide-open gas station?
Yeah, than the nobody-around-for-miles gas station that they're at, but apparently he believes it.
Fred's just like, oh, okay.
He questions it a little bit. He asks Serena if she really trusts him.
Yeah.
And hesitates.
Because Fred
trusts... Serena, so smartly, does not really encourage him. She just says yes.
Yep, doesn't waver. And so they're driving, and they're driving for a while, because the scenery changes, the foliage changes.
Yep.
Fred clearly does not pay attention to those sorts of things, but eventually, after a while, he finally goes, this is not up the road.
Right, he's like,
where are we? And as soon as they made the turn the road, and then they were like in the pines, I was like, you are fucked.
Yep, the answer is, you're in Canada!
Yes.
Congratulations.
So they get out of the car and Fred's like, where the hell are we? What's going on? And Captain Freedom Pants announces to Fred, Mr. Waterford, you are in Canada and you are now under arrest for war crimes and a litany of things.
Yeah,
that
he starts listing out stuff.
Yep. All the
things. It was a lot. Well, it was even more than I expected.
They've done a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've had 5 years to do a lot of things.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. They were, I mean, he listed off every charge you could possibly be charged for the things they were doing in Gilead. It was really kind of amazing.
Yes.
And then Fred is, of course, freaking out.
Fred's freaking out.
And he seems at first worried about Serena.
Yeah.
Because he's a sweet, stupid puppy dog.
Yes.
And Serena is also being, like, you know,
ushered
into a vehicle,
but also,
separate from Fred.
You also notice that nobody
much gentler, and nobody's reading her rights.
That's right. Nobody is reading her rights or saying you're being charged.
I don't know if
anything.
She was even actually handcuffed. Like, they might have
just had
just
her hands
behind her
away
back
into the...
and put her in the car, and she stayed silent.
Yep.
Because she's smart.
Yep. And while she did look surprised, because, you know, you got to think, she didn't really know. She probably didn't know exactly how it was going to go down.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so she was probably genuinely, with whatever shred of love for Fred she had left, concerned for his well-being that they weren't going to, like...
You would still be, like, worried about them, right? I mean, she did love him at one point in time, if she doesn't now.
Yes. And regardless of all the stupid shit he's done, and, you know, there's still feelings there, clearly. But not enough not to sell him down the road for her.
Nope.
A baby that's not really hers. So
she wants her pretend baby back. Yeah,
so they separate them. Serena goes in the one, he goes in the other, while they're still reading him the litany of charges that we'll probably be reading him all the way until we get there, wherever the hell they're going.
Yeah. Very interested to see where they take him.
Yes.
Like, does he go straight to a cell? Do they take him to negotiators so they can try to get everything out of him they can? I'm very interested.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. So,
and like, does Serena try to, like, make friends with Luke and share custody? How is this gonna go? I'm so confused. I have so many questions.
Luke did not seem interested in
get that impression from him before. No. Yeah.
He warmed up, but he didn't seem like he was like, hey, let's have brunch.
Right. Well, he warmed up to the idea that she is also a human. That's about all he warmed up to.
Yes, and I'd say that's even a lot.
And I can't imagine what Moira would think. Jeez.
Right.
Moira might kill her.
Oh man. So last scene. June at the Lawrences. We get a little musical montage on this one. This is Kate Bush again. And for those of you that were thinking, hey, this is Tori Amos, that's because
Tori Amos does sound a lot like Kate Bush.
Even though she started like 20 years.
Yeah, I started to say it's the other way around.
It's okay.
Okay.
No, Kate Bush started like way earlier than Tori Amos did.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like, that's the thing. Like, I'd heard of Kate Bush.
Uh-huh. And I did not hear about her before.
Yeah, she was like 80s big time. And like, if you listen to them,
it really did sound like Tori Amos. I totally agree.
There's some little idiosyncrasies in the vocals, but very little, you know. Hmm. And yeah, they're both equally awesome.
For those of you listening, this is a big deal. Justin just admitted that another singer is equally as awesome as Tori Amos, whom he holds in very high regard and has a crush on.
Wow, just throw it all out there.
I'm putting it all out
there. None of that is untrue. She's magic.
I know. It's not. Yeah.
She's great.
Is Kate Bush also a redhead?
No.
Okay, just checking.
She's not.
Just checking. Fair redheads. Same.
I told you, you can't say it like that, especially on this show, or it sounds weird. I don't do it on purpose. It just happens to be a thing where all the singers that are awesome happen to be
all of them redheads. That are awesome.
Nico Case. But no, I don't think that's her real hair. Florence and the Machine. Hers just happens that I don't.
I know.
They just. It it's just happens.
Funny. It's
it is.
Just funny. This is why I continue to give you shit about
I know.
It.
Yeah. So now we get the cutscene for Kate Bush. Cloud Busting is the name of the song. Also, Kate Bush's birthday today. So happy birthday, Kate Bush.
Happy birthday.
So then we get these cutscenes between June kind of getting dressed and Martha's disposing of Winslow's body and cleaning up the crime scene.
Very efficiently.
Crime, depending on your perspective.
They have got their shit together.
Yes.
They've clearly done this before.
Yes. And so I think we're kind of seeing, wow, the Martha's really, like, we knew they did before because they orchestrated the whole escape last year, last season with Nicole getting out. And clearly we've met the Martha Mafia who we got the plans. But now we're kind of seeing all these women together.
Yeah, these mechanisms
in action,
they have in place.
Just boom, 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 you know.
Yeah, I was watching that whole sequence thinking, like, well, they have clearly done this before, and then immediately thought, oh, they've probably done it before for women.
Women, yeah.
Yeah.
So, because they throw his body in the incinerator, which is probably like a trash incinerator, I would assume. That's kind of what those things
are. I don't know, it was awfully
for.
Big.
Well,
I don't know.
That's kind of what I would think.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know if maybe it's a boiler. But I don't know, like a.
I don't know. I do not have experience in these things, no. So I'm not exactly sure.
Well, I only thought trash, because that's like the only thing I could think that you would need a fire of that size for at a location like that. Because clearly they're at some kind of hotel apartment,
yeah.
And so maybe they're like having an incinerator for their trash. I don't know, but that would also seem frowned upon in Gilead. But I don't know. So if anybody has any HVAC knowledge of large buildings and knows what that was.
That looked familiar to you.
Yeah, let
us
know.
We're curious.
Yeah.
Also, that giant washing machine that they put the sheets in. Whoa.
Yeah.
That was intense. That's that for real? Is that what they really look like? I really do want to know this.
I think that I've seen.
Because
before.
If it does, if that's really what they put the sheets in big hotels in, I will feel much better about the sheets in the next hotel I stay in. So please, somebody, tell me if that's really how they get them clean. Because if it is, I will feel much better.
I guess we'll find out. Somebody will know. They always do. So then Lauren, or June's putting on all the garb. She's done. And Lawrence comes in with the handgun, which was at the beginning of this episode pointed as his head, and just hands it to her and says, they'll be coming for us.
I wonder, does she tell him what happened?
I would imagine she had to.
You know, or does he just assume she got beat up?
I would assume she had to go. I mean, there's no reason not to tell him at this point, because at this point they're both in the same boat, right? He can't get out. She can't get out.
I agree. But like, I feel like telling him makes it worse for him.
I don't know.
Although, can it get worse? They already,
I don't think so.
Think he's...
He already tried to get out.
Yeah.
And they already clearly have him on their radar of people that are, you know...
Yeah, not allowed to get out.
Not...
You suddenly need new paperwork that he doesn't have.
Exactly. So, I think he knows. And at this point, I think they just figure it's better to be on the same page than not. That's what I would assume. That's how I would think you'd play it, because what's the point of keeping secrets?
Yeah, trying for teamwork.
Yeah. I mean, somebody... Essentially, now they're both trying to figure out a way to get out together, or get somebody
well
out.
And with the kids,
right? Don't forget about the kids.
Yeah, get the kids out, get his wife out.
We gotta trust
June him. Does not seem intent on getting out herself anymore.
No,
she just wants to get the kids out.
I believe that's even he even says that he asked her that earlier in the episode, is like, so you're not leaving? And she's like, no. And that's when he says maternal love. That's another thing we underestimated.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't take into
that.
Account. Yeah, so it's pretty clear that she has no intention of getting out until again find Hannah. So,
or until she can get as many kids out as she possibly can.
Maybe she's going to keep doing it until she can figure it out. Or both. Keep trying to figure out where Hannah's at and keep shuffling out as many kids as she can.
Yeah. Hannah's probably like in California or something.
I don't know. Guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
So we end it with the line of the song, which I always like to see what they do at the end of these episodes. Because ever since I always keep watching because they do interesting things in the credits.
Yeah, they change it up.
Yeah, so this one ends on the sun's coming out are the last two lines of the song that she sings before the credits hit.
And then you continue with the washing sound.
And you continue all the way to the end of the wash sound until it runs in the cycle and stops.
Yep.
So that is the end. That's where we leave it. So June and Lawrence preparing for whatever's coming for them.
Yeah.
And who knows if Billy's on board, if we can get kids out of the plane or not.
I don't know, man. He seemed like... If he thinks it's going to work out well for him, he'll try.
But he still was
I
not
don't
convinced.
Know that this is going to... I don't know that this really sounded to him like it would work out well for him.
Yeah.
It's not like she promised him money or something.
No.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Maybe he's just going to turn him in.
Yeah. So next week we'll find out what becomes of Serena and Fred for sure, hopefully. Two episodes left for
her. I know.
They're setting up a lot. And I do recall... Now that I'm thinking of it, Bruce Miller, showrunner of when we interviewed him last time, and I'm not doing this just because we also happen to be interviewing him this week. He did mention that he was one of the aspects that he would enjoy filming was the Nuremberg trial aspect of Serena and Fred and what happens if one of them gets taken into custody or both or whatever. And so it looks like he is. Succeeded in making that become
It's definitely a possibility based on what we know now.
Yeah. And if that's...
I'll be super fascinated to see what happens to them or just Fred.
And we know that the show just got renewed for season 4, so they are back next season.
Yep.
So that's...
And Margaret Atwood's sequel.
Yes. Is coming out September 10th. Testimony.
Not soon enough.
Yes. So
very excited.
There's lots of things. The Handmaid's Tale... once again, they always find a way to keep it all out there. So, I got to think they're setting up next season to be like this whole Nuremberg trial and June still trying to figure out part of it.
Like, I feel like that's maybe getting a little ahead of us because there's only one commander there right now. Like,
right now.
It's just one.
Yeah.
You know.
Be some interesting things happen.
Although, have you thought at all about, like, might they charge Serena with something?
Oh, I don't see a scenario in which Serena can't be charged. Like,
I think Serena definitely can be charged, but will they? Is it politically worth it? You know, because if you're Canada, of course you would want to charge her for, holding down women to be raped and stealing children and, you know, facilitating this rebellion in the first place.
Yeah.
But also, you don't want to discourage other wives from coming to Canada and coming forward.
True. True.
Hopefully with the children that they stole.
It's still just, I don't know. Do they let her off scot-free because she handed over a commander? Which is a pretty good get for them. I mean, considering that...
Yeah, definitely. And especially because he was at least somewhat well-connected. You know, he was getting in with the DC people.
For sure.
He was apparently, like, running Gilead, his little area of Gilead in the Boston area. So, yeah, I mean, he should have, like, a lot of knowledge that would be good. And he's dumb enough to turn it over, for sure. So...
He does not seem like the one that would be...
I know. I mean, like, can you... just imagining him trying to feed, like, false information is just pretty laughable.
Yeah.
Super interested to see what happens there.
A lot of ways it could go. So, we'll see. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
Two more episodes to go before the end of the season.
Yeah, this is a lot of interesting stuff happening for only two episodes left. There's a lot of people in play and a lot of people at high risk right now.
Yeah. So I got to think we're headed towards getting something more from Moira and Emily. And
I really hope so. Oh, man. What contingent. About when Emily sees her?
Oh, man. It's all going to be bad. She's going to... Because you got to think there's going to be some kind of like...
I mean, she killed the last wife she was in proximity to.
It's true. Well, her and Emily both killed a wife. So, you know.
That's true.
Yeah. We shall see. Lots of directions this could all go. It'll be very interesting to watch play out. So I was very pleased with this episode. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
Lots of stuff going on. So we'll see you next week. And once again, for those listening, we're interviewing Mr. Bruce Miller this coming weekend.
Yep.
We're going to post it on the Facebooks so we can take some social media questions because they're always fun.
Oh, yeah.
So figure out what you're going to ask
awesome
Bruce.
Questions.
Figure out what you're going to ask Bruce, but what you want to know about the show. Mm-hmm. And we'll ask him. So. Until next week, when we figure out what the hell else is going to happen in this crazy show.
I know.
We'll see.
I'm excited.
Bye-bye.
Bye.